Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, jumping on with us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, is Maryland head coach Kevin Willard. The Terps, with a 67-65 win over West Virginia in the first game of the first round in Birmingham yesterday. Kevin, that was knockdown, drag out, haymaker after haymaker. Congrats, first of all. What was coaching that game like for you?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we knew going in, just understanding Hug's team, it's going to be a battle. You know, they just make everything so tough on the offensive end. And, you know, we came out, and I think their aggressiveness, their physicality, kind of got us on our heels a little bit. But once we got to that 10-minute mark, you know, I think everyone kind of took a deep breath. We got going again, and from there it was a really good game.
It was a hell of a game. I do want to start with the beginning because, you know, at one of those TV timeouts, Tracy Wolfson from CBS is interviewing you, and you actually seemed like, hey, it could be a lot worse. We've been in these situations before, but I thought the start to that game, the way they threw their first punch, as you described, with their physicality in the first 10 minutes, was truly a good blow or three in your direction. What specifically did you guys do to get back into the game and eventually into a halftime lead?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the thing I talked to Tracy about. Like, you know, we had gotten off some bad starts on the road, and I looked up at the score and it was 13-4, and I was like, you know, we're not playing well offensively, but, you know, they're really not playing well offensively either. So that was really, for us, I thought it was a big positive. And I just told the team at that timeout, I'm like, guys, we're down 9 and we have 6 turnovers and we're not playing well. I said, this is the best they can play. This is the worst we can play. Let's just settle down and get into a rhythm. And I think that helped the kids just realize, like, we're only down 9 and, you know, we've been on the road. We've been down 13, 14, 15 at Purdue and come back and had a chance to win. Down 12 at Michigan State, have a chance to win. So I think it just gave our kids a little confidence just to kind of calm down a little bit.
You mentioned to me earlier in the year, you said, we're going to be a good defensive team. We are a good defensive team. And ultimately, you have to be because defense travels. You know, I thought you played well defensively in a lot of the road games down the stretch personally, especially in that first half against Penn State. I thought it was as good defensively as you guys had been all year. I thought defense kept you in the game in the first half. What did you think?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I really thought we did a good job on Stevenson. You know, he has been on the air, played great in the Big 12 tournament, played great against Kansas State when they needed a huge win at home. So that he was really our key. We wanted to make sure he had a tough night, and I thought we did a really good job, you know, through the middle part of the first half of making sure he took tough challenge shots. And then, you know, once we, you know, they hurt us on the glass, but, you know, once we started getting some rebounds, we were able to get on the break. And you know, we ended up the first half 11-for-19 from the field, which, you know, you shoot 11-for-19 against a Bob Huggins team, you're playing pretty good offense.
Yeah, it was just the turnovers, right? And more shot attempts, shooting 55% would have been great. But there you were with a 2-point lead, and you guys extended it to 7 early in the second half, and then they took 5 minutes to look at something. I think they were looking at a Dante screen. I thought it took some steam out of the game and out of you guys in the moment. What were you thinking in that moment?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, Kev, because, you know, it was, we had some really good momentum. And that kind of really just took, like, I think it gave them a chance to kind of get settled back in. Hugs came out of that break and ran a really good isolation play for Keetron Johnson. And I thought it took a lot of momentum away from us and gave it to them.
Yeah, I mean, they went on a 16-0 run after that with Johnson scoring most of the points. But then, like I said, it was just each team, you know, kind of bouncing back with haymakers after they got down and went down, and you guys came back. And it was at that point that I thought, you know, Reese really, you know, he really kind of put his stamp on the game, man. We've watched, you know, every minute of every game this year and been with you the whole way. I don't know if anybody's improved more than him, but just talk about his performance down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jimmy Bell from West Virginia got in foul trouble,
right,
and he had been playing pretty good defense on Julian. And once they went to their backup center, I knew we had an advantage. And, you know, we needed just to get a couple easy buckets. We didn't have to work. I didn't want jump shots. I wanted something at the rim, inside. Dante Scott had been great in the first half. And I just thought we had the mismatch, and we went to Julian three straight times, and Juju was just terrific. And, you know, he's had such a great work ethic and such a great attitude all year. He's just improved. Every game he's gotten better. Something's gotten better for him. And I'm happy for him because he's a great young man who's worked really, really hard.
You mentioned Dante Scott. I thought his buckets in the first half were huge for you. You just mentioned his first half. How about that offensive rebound there at the end? How big was that?
Yeah, you know, it's something that, you know, Dante's numbers haven't been very good this year. I mean, but he does so many other things for us during the game. He's our best defender. He comes up with like great deflections, great steals. He's just one of those. He plays so darn hard for us. You know, he just, you know, him chasing down that rebound, I think, which was big about it, Kevin. It gave us a chance to burn an extra 24 seconds
right
off the clock and really shorten the game.
I'm curious because I haven't gone back and looked at it yet, but on one of those last possessions defensively, did you box in one Stevenson with Dante?
No, we were in zone, and they tried to run a little hammer play. We had actually gone over it. The staff had done a good job of preparing the team in the timeout, and we just switched out on it and just tried to blow it up.
Okay, yeah, because he switched out, and it looked like he was chasing him with everybody else in the zone. We're talking to Kevin Willard. What a thriller yesterday. The kind of game, by the way, that just, you know, that last shot, I don't know if you were sweating it as much as we were, but we've seen a lot of those go down against us over the years. What were you thinking when their guy got a look there at the end?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, like, you know, if you're going to give up a shot at the end of the game, you'd rather it be a running one-foot shot from 28 feet than a guy coming off a down screen who's going to shoot it.
Sure.
So, obviously a little nervous, but, you know, again, you know, guys really did a good job of doing what we want to do at the end of the game. You know, we missed a couple free throws toward the end of the game that kind of put us in that position, but I thought guys did a good job of doing what we wanted to do.
If Jameer makes the second one, do you foul in that situation?
No, so with 4.5, we don't foul with that little time just because of the fact that they're going to probably not get a good shot. And as good a rebounding team as West Virginia is, I was very, you know, one thing you don't want to do is let them make it, and all of a sudden then miss, you give up an and-one. You know, so with 4.5 left, you kind of just play good, solid defense, and, you know, make them get a shot that they took.
So tell me, just overall, you know, in that locker room afterwards, it's been, you know, a grind of a first season. You've gone through the Big Ten for the first time, seen some of those venues on the road, seen our venue in College Park, long season. But to make it to the tournament in your first year and get a win, just, you know, give me your overall thoughts on the season. There, you got another one to play, you know, tomorrow, and a big one. But that must have been a thrill for you and your team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think, you know, we've played enough big games this year. I think that, which is really good, cool about the Big Ten Conference, is just about every road game is a big game. I mean, it's a sold-out crowd. It's a huge atmosphere. Obviously, going 10-0 at home in the Big Ten at College Park, you know, with the games that we had, the Illinois game alone early in the season, I think just set us up for getting ready for big games. So I think it was more, we expected to win this game. You know, we thought we went in going in thinking we should win this game. And I think, you know, that was the attitude in the locker room, was like, all right, hey, man, it's great. We got our W. We're still playing. But, you know, now we got to get ready for a really good Alabama team.
Yeah, a very good Alabama team. So tell me about them and give me sort of what the process is between the time the game ended yesterday and you fulfilled all your media responsibilities and tip time on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, it's all about, you know, giving the guy, making sure the guys get enough rest, first and foremost. You know, we had a lot of guys play a lot of minutes. And then it's really, with short turnarounds, we really try to focus on how we're going to defend pick and rolls and really personnel, because, you know, you got to, obviously, Alabama, they got one of the best players in Brandon Miller. But Javon Quinterly is an unbelievable point guard, playing at a different level right now. I mean, Mark Sears is shooting the basketball as good as anyone I've seen in a long time. So I think knowing personnel, that's what we're going to focus on today, is really, you know, in practice, understanding what we're going to do on pick and rolls and really which guys we want to run off the line, and then really kind of start focus on how we're going to score against them.
Congrats on the win. It was a lot of fun to watch, and best of luck tomorrow. Appreciate you doing this.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Kevin Willard, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. The game, 9:40 tomorrow night, the final game of the Saturday second round games. Maryland will play tomorrow night in Birmingham. All right, home. This is going to be a road game for the Terps at Alabama in Birmingham. Alabama is a 7.5, 8-point favorite in this game. Brandon Miller, who is, you know, clearly been in the news a lot over the last few months, is also one of the two or three best players in the country. But he's actually banged up a little bit, and they rested him yesterday in that game. He didn't score in their 96-75 win over Texas A&M Corpus Christi, but he'll be ready to go tomorrow night. And yes, Sears has been shooting the absolute lights out of the basketball for them. He was three for four yesterday from behind the arc. He can really stroke it as well. So the chances right now, first blush, better chance tomorrow night than I think they had 2 years ago. I think that Alabama team 2 years ago in many ways was more athletic and deeper. And the Terps really were a massive overachiever 2 years ago. Not that this team isn't, but this team also is an older basketball team. And you saw it yesterday. They did not. They took West Virginia's best six or seven punches early, and they looked like they were in deep trouble. But they fought back, and it was a thrilling win to beat West Virginia. But I give them a shot tomorrow night. I think Brandon Miller's health will mean everything to the game. If he is not 100%, then a massive benefit for Maryland. But it is going to be a road environment, that is for sure, playing Alabama in Birmingham. By the way, on the same night, in the same building, and the game before it is Auburn against Houston. So Auburn will be basically playing at home against a one seed in Birmingham in the early game on Saturday night. Houston, by the way, that line is out. You know, Sasser's health is obviously a big question mark. Houston is just a 5.5-point favorite in a 1-9 game, and then Maryland and Alabama will follow that. There will be a lot of Alabama and Auburn fans in that arena. Look, football's everything, and basketball's way down the pecking order for both of those places. But it doesn't matter. It's Saturday night in Birmingham, and you can go watch the Tigers and the Tide in the second round of the NCAA tournament. That's a huge advantage for those teams playing at home. It's actually unfair to Houston to have to play Auburn in a second-round game that could feel like a road game. I remember when Maryland was a one seed in 2002, they played at Capital One, or back then it was the MCI Center, and Wisconsin was infuriated. It was a sold out crowd. It was 95% Maryland fans, and it was unfair. And the Terps won that game by 30 on their way to a national championship. Some good games Saturday. By the way, you know what, Denton, might be the best game of the day is Duke Tennessee. You know, Duke's just, what did you just tell me? They're only a 2.5 point favorite.
Yeah, Duke at 2.5 at the moment.
Yeah. I think I might have Tennessee on Saturday, tomorrow afternoon, for the legal limit, plus the 2.5. Can I get it to plus 3? I'd like it plus 3. But I'm gonna tell you right now, nobody is going to be on Tennessee. And the best part of it is Tennessee barely hung on.
Oh, whoa. It is now plus 3.5.
It's 3.5?
It's now 3.5, yeah.
I'll take the 3.5. I might have to grab it right now. All right. There were press conferences yesterday on the first day of the NCAA tournament held for all of the new players in Washington, including their new quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. We're going to play some of that sound from Brissett. Also, Taylor Heinicke held his introductory press conference in Atlanta. You'll hear some of that as well. That's next. Gary Williams after that. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You told it as far as your role. I mean, are you going in believing that you're going to compete to start, or is it some other role?
Like I told somebody earlier, you know, every day in this league is competition, you know, we wouldn't be in this profession if we didn't compete every day. And that's what I was told, you know, you come in and do your job, compete, and then whatever happens, happens. But, you know, the main thing is just to come in and be a good teammate. And that's what I think I've carried with me throughout my career. And then everything else kind of has always taken care of itself for me.
That was Jacoby Brissett in his introductory presser yesterday. Washington had introductory press conferences for Brissett, Barton, and Wiley yesterday. You're going to hear some of what Andrew Wiley said about Eric Bieniemy. But Jacoby Brissett, and I didn't find this out until yesterday, he represented himself. He does not have formal representation. He has advisors. But he said, he made a comment at one point. He said, yeah, I don't like giving up the agent fee. I like keeping that money. Brissett yesterday talking about what his role will be. This will be a big part of our discussion, certainly after the sale of the team, hopefully, and football is the focus. Is this really a competition as we go through the spring and into the summer and into the preseason games? Or is this really going in the direction of no matter what Sam Howell does, they're going to give him the first chance? We shall see. This was Jacoby Brissett talking about what a lot of people have said about him, that he is an outstanding teammate.
Listen, I think just being a good teammate will trump anything. And that's been the case no matter my role throughout my career. You know, it's always started with being a good teammate. And the roles kind of unfold because I may need him. He may need me. You don't know how much he'll need me. I might not know how much I need him, but, you know, just finding ways to help each other get better, for our own benefit, but also for our room, for our offense, and also for this team.
This has been a super popular player in every locker room he's been in. We had Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland on the show at the end of the show yesterday. She's covered the Browns forever. She spoke to that. If you read quotes about from players, Nick Chubb had incredibly nice, fond words for Jacoby Brissett. This is one of the reasons you see guys like Geno Smith, Jacoby Brissett, Chase Daniel, you know, other players continue to get jobs, Gardner Minshew, because they're great in the locker room. They're smart. They're great teammates. They can play if you need them to play. You know, it's not a bad gig. Like, this is what I think Taylor Heineke. Now, the journey for him started a little bit later age-wise, but, you know, he could have a run of 3-4 years as a backup quarterback earning incredible money. He had something to say, which you'll hear in a moment. But this was one more from Jacoby Brissett on what Eric Bieniemy brings to the offense.
Honestly, the fresh start. You know, obviously, a lot of the understanding the track record, a lot of these playmakers that are on the roster already, and being a fan of the NFL and seeing a lot of these guys go out there and make plays, obviously playing against them last year and going through the process of scouting against these guys, knowing that these guys, a lot of these guys are playmakers, and obviously EB's track record and what he's been able to accomplish throughout his coaching career. You know, I'm excited for this journey and excited for this opportunity.
I'm excited for Jacoby Brissett. I mean, as much as you can get excited for, you know, kind of a journeyman, you know, high-end backup, you know, back end of the league starter when he's been their quarterback. I mean, we knew that they weren't going after Derek Carr or Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers. There are many reasons why this is the situation they're in right now. Jacoby Brissett might be playing on the best roster with the best team or the supporting cast that he's played with. I like him. There's nothing about him coming in that you've got to discuss like you did last year with Carson Wentz, why Carson Wentz had been dispatched by two organizations after they spent gobs on him at great expense to both organizations. Again, as I've said many times, if that wasn't a red flag for Ron Rivera and company, they're really simple because it was screaming, be careful. And then they overpaid on top of that. This is, you know, I don't know that they thought they were going to have to give him $8 million in guaranteed money. And perhaps if Heineke really was, you know, a top priority, which is something that John Keim suggested, that, you know, it may have been, hey, we're desperate again. We've got to get a quarterback, a veteran quarterback on this roster. But they got a guy that's great as a person, as a leader, as a guy that if Sam Howell is the guy, you know, and if he's really got ability to take this to the next level and become potentially a starting quarterback in the NFL, you got a guy that would be a great mentor. But for this team that, you know, and this is where the conflict comes, it's like Ron wants to, you know, talk up Sam Howell, and at the same time, he's got to win next year, doesn't he? Jacoby Brissett on this team doesn't make them a Super Bowl contender, doesn't make them a deep into January contender, but if everybody's healthy and they've improved their offensive line, it'll be the best quarterbacking they'll get that they've had in a while, and it gives them a better chance to win that extra game or two to put them into the mix for the postseason. I'm still just completely floored by those of you that just have decided that 2023 is the season of Sam. You don't do that for that level of player. I hope it becomes that. It'd be great. But you don't go in there thinking that we're giving him all 17 come hell or high water, despite what we're, you know, our eyes are telling us. All right. This was yesterday, Taylor Heineke in Atlanta. He held an introductory press conference. Actually, you know what? Let's play the Taylor, Denton. Let's play the Taylor Heineke. We'll hold the Andrew Wiley for a little bit later because that was a really good line from Andrew Wiley. But this was Taylor Heineke in Atlanta yesterday on leaving Washington.
That was very tough. You know, I feel like that's a home for me. You know, I built a lot of great relationships there. There's a lot of great memories there. You know, they gave me my second chance at football. And, There's a lot of special people up there, but you know, it's, you know, I'm going from one home to another. So it's a pretty easy process, but I'll be lying to you not to say I was, you know, a little heartbroken to leave those people up there.
By the way, that is such the right answer. And I'm going to trust him that he's being sincere. There are several people out there, including my good friend Tom Lavero, that are convinced that he wanted out, that the relationship with Rivera had deteriorated to the point where he wanted out and he felt betrayed by not starting that Cleveland game. That's not what you heard there. And if he does feel that way, he took the high road, which is the right road for him. This was him on signing with Atlanta and yet nearly re-signing with Washington.
Atlanta said they were interested from the beginning. I didn't know how interested they were, but there was some interest there. And honestly, I was about to sign back with Washington about 2 or 3 days ago, and Atlanta comes in with a better offer. And you know, I sat back and thought about it. And, you know, my family's from around here. I'm from around here. You know, my little nephew's going to be able to come see me at training camp and go to the game. So, you know, that was a big part of it. And I'm just happy to be home you know, do that for my family.
Yeah, now that's an answer that doesn't really speak to he was never coming back to Washington. Sounds like he was very close to re-signing with Washington. It also confirms that Washington was definitely, and we've discussed this in Keim. Look, Keim was on with us on Tuesday morning, Denton, essentially suggesting that, you know, within a few hours that he would sign a 2-year, $10 million deal. So there was a lot of thought that Taylor Heinicke was going to re-sign here. And by the way, that Washington was ready to re-sign him. They made him an offer, clearly, and Atlanta came in with more money, and he's going home, and you heard the reasons there. But it sounds to me like he was pretty close to re-signing with Washington, despite what's been said or, you know, thought about, you know, feeling so betrayed by Ron Rivera. And, you know, feeling as if that relationship had deteriorated, something that I think his college coach told Galdi on his podcast. All right, you'll hear what Andrew Wiley said later in the show, their new right tackle, we think he's a tackle, about Eric Bieniemy. Also, Nick Gates had something to say about the position he thinks he's going to play. So we'll get to some of that a little bit later on in the show. Ben will join us at 8 about 25 minutes from now. But up next, Gary Williams will be on with us. It's time for BetMGM's March matchups. Turn this year's tournament into something special and enjoy college basketball like never before when you take your best shots at BetMGM. Sign up now and get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and boosted odds specials on the college tournament. Every three-pointer, slam dunk, and buzzer beater means more than ever when you get a piece of the action at BetMGM. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and find out why nothing beats betting on college basketball at the King of Sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. This promotional offer not available in Washington, D.C.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Blake, who thought he had beaten the buzzer in a game against Notre Dame this season from midcourt. Oh, wants it and he needs it. Nicholas, the senior, with 2 seconds. Here he goes for the win. Yes! Nicholas has done it! Maryland on to the second round and a most heroic finish.
That was 20 years ago. Last year we celebrated 20 years since the national championship year in 2002. As the defending champs, they were on the ropes. In the final game, by the way, of the first round, it was a late Friday night in Nashville, Tennessee, when Drew Nicholas hit that shot to beat UNC Wilmington. Terps would go on to beat Xavier on the following round and then lost to Michigan State in a crusher in overtime. In the Sweet 16. Gary Williams, Hall of Fame basketball coach and the man on the sidelines that night, joins us right now. That was 20 years ago. That really, you know, that Drew Nicholas shot, for all of the, you know, highlights and buzzer beaters and thrilling moments in NCAA tournament, that one's always there.
Yeah, that was right in front of our bench. I really had a good look at the, from the bench on a long shot like that. You can tell if it's online. You can't tell if it's short or long, but you can tell if it's online, and that was right online. And Drew knew it was in too. After he shot it, when he came down from the jump shot, he was on his way to the locker room as the ball went in the net, which I thought was a little overdone, but you know, it's all right. But he's now scouting for the Denver Nuggets, Drew Nicholas.
That's awesome. He had a phenomenal international career.
He was Player of the Year in Europe 1 year, and played for all the big teams, like in Greek, Italy. Those guys, when they have a good year, they usually jump like to another country because they get more money. And, you know, Drew, you know, he did a great job with his money. He lives in Miami and living a good life. So I'm very happy for him.
That's awesome. And that game, I'll never forget that. You know, that was the very last game when it finished up of the first round on a late Friday night. I think it ended at after midnight when that shot went through.
It was a very hard year that year after the national championship. We were still, you know, a really good team. We still had Steve Blake, Drew Nicholas, Taj Holden, Ryan Randall from that team. And Nick Kaner Medley had come in as a freshman. You know, we played really well the next game against West and
David, you know, West in that game
and Xavier, and then lost. We missed a jump shot from the top of the circle to beat Michigan State to go to the Elite Eight. So that was a tough one.
It was a good look for Blake. It was his final shot of his career, and I thought that one was going down. And by the way, it would have been, I think, Texas in the Elite Eight with a chance to go back to the Final Four that year. That was a great game. Yeah, really, really, really good team.
We played a lot of games at Michigan State in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, so, I know. By the way, they didn't go very well, obviously, and they were all super close. And correct me if I'm wrong, they were all big comebacks from big deficits.
Yeah. Yeah, we were We beat them in New York and Madison Square Garden right. 1 year, but we lost the toughest loss I ever had was out west. We lost to them. Reyes Vasquez had scored 10 points in the last minute and 10 seconds. And Draymond Green hit a jump shot in front of Izzo's bench, Michigan State's bench, when Izzo was trying to call timeout to give them the lead. Vasquez went down, gave us the lead. Then they came down and made a shot for a kid that wasn't supposed to catch the pass that he caught. But the one guy ducked, and the other guy walked in and caught.
Summers, yeah. He ducked. Lucius made it.
Circle.
Well, you've said Lucius, to me before, that's the toughest loss of your career.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we weren't a great team that year. I had a great player in Gravis Vasquez, but we weren't good enough probably to beat Michigan State, but we had the opportunity to beat them, and that's the way those things go.
Well, I mean, you were the ACC regular season champs, and, you know, you had a young freshman center who I wish had stayed in school for 4 years in Jordan Williams. And Eric had a great senior year, Landon Milbourne. That team was such a likable team, and Gravis obviously was a lovable player.
Yeah.
And he put in that game, we've talked about it many times, I think he had 12 of your final 14 points as he tried to will.
We were 15 down in the second half and came back against, Draymond Green, a very good Michigan State team. But, you know, it was a game we could have won. And those games, you see it every year. They come down to one shot a lot of times. And, you know, sometimes those things live with you. If you're a player and you're a competitor, you don't forget that. You know, that stays with you, whether you win or lose. That game stays with you. When the guys came back that were on the championship team, that also played in 2003. They talked about that Michigan State game, about losing that Michigan State game as much as winning the national championship.
Yeah. We're talking to Gary Williams. So did you think that three-pointer from the kid who had scored all those points, Johnson, who ended up with 27 in the game, did you think that was going in at the end? Looked online.
Right. Yeah, it's why not? You know, I mean, it looked good. And, you know, sometimes, you know, shots just don't go in. The player does everything right. He shoots it. He thinks it's going in, and it doesn't go in. You know, it's just a little off. So, you know, those things happen, but you never know. I mean, it's people, if you haven't been part of that, people don't understand the pressure in the NCAA tournament. There's that, unless you're really good, there's that feeling of making the tournament, which is a great feeling. It's unbelievable. That only lasts usually, hopefully, until the first, second practice. But, you know, after that, you get into the tournament, you get a chance to win a game, and you don't win it, it really hurts. And they're the games that stay with you. You know, those games don't go away as time goes by.
All right, so we're talking to Gary Williams. I talked about this game in the first hour. I loved it. It was a brawl. I mean, it was one haymaker after another thrown by each team. What were your takeaways from the Maryland 67-65 win over West Virginia?
Well, I thought, first of all, you know, knowing Bob Huggins a little bit, they were going to come out and play really hard and do whatever they could to win the game. And, you know, watching Maryland this year, the one consistent thing, they've been a little inconsistent. The one consistent thing they always do was show up and play hard and you know, let's go. And those two teams really went at it. It wasn't pretty, but, you know, NCAA tournament games, sometimes they're not, you know, really artistic, but because both teams are tight a little bit at the start of the game, and you know, you got to play your way through that, and then it really gets down to it. When you got two teams that are willing to play really good defense and work really hard, you see a game like Maryland, West Virginia, and you know, I thought Maryland won that game, which they haven't been able to do often this year when Young doesn't play great. You know, when he doesn't have a great game, he was okay. He made a couple mistakes at the end, but he was okay. But he wasn't great. But Maryland still won the game, and I think that's a great thing for them, confidence-wise, going into the next game.
Talking about Young, there have been a couple of games here down the stretch where teams are really getting physical with him. Looks like they're really trying to force him right and not let him go get left going downhill. How do you combat that? Because he's too good, and you're not going to be able to beat a team without, like Alabama, without Jameer Young playing much better and scoring. I mean, he had one field goal, was 7 of 8 from the free throw line, but made one shot from the field.
I think that he's got to get out early in transition and get some looks where they don't have a chance to set their defense. And I think against Alabama, that might happen because the way they like to get up and down. Obviously, they're a great team as the number one seed, but at the same time, it might be a little easier for Young early in that game. And so that's what he's got to do. He's got to find that open 15-footer. He's in transition. He's got to be able to take the ball to the basket. You mentioned a good point where teams are forcing him to his right, you know, as a left-hander. That's the first thing you look at in the scouting report. You know, how is he going to his right? And I think he's okay going to his right, but the one thing that takes away, when he gets to his left side, when he can go left and start to penetrate the lane, he's got a great pass that he can throw to the opposite corner. But making him go right, that pass is taken away because most people can't throw the ball that far with their weak hand. And, you know, Young's just like everybody else in that regard. So it'll be interesting to see what Alabama does and see how much they're willing to open up the court to give Young and the other guys chances to dribble penetrate, because when Merrill can get dribble penetration, that's when they're really good, because they're willing to pass the ball. Guys know how to get open when their man goes to help, and they really do a good job with their offense in those situations.
You and I have talked about Reese going back to the beginning of the year. I mean, the improvement of this individual player has been remarkable this year, and when the big kid for West Virginia went out, he dominated the last 6-7 minutes of that game. Just tell me your thoughts about Juju Reese.
Yeah, I think that's the thing you just mentioned is one of the things underrated about Reese, is that he's got pretty good stamina, especially for a big guy. The last parts of games, he's played well this year when he stayed out of foul trouble. And that's been the key all year. When he's not in foul trouble, in the last part of the game, he can freewheel. He can just go and play and not worry about anything. When he gets into foul trouble, like a lot of players, a lot of young players, they really worry about being, you know, protective of getting that fourth foul or whatever in the situation. And I think he is that. And he's a young player. People forget, as he matures in the game, those things will go away. And but I think he's really a key, especially against a team you know, like Alabama coming up, where they have so many athletes and so many guys that can get above the rim, that type of thing, that he's going to really play a key part in just one of the things he has to do is stay out of foul trouble. But, you know, that's easy for me to say, you know, because it's going to be a game where there's a lot of opportunities. Guys are coming flying to the rim, trying to block shots and, you know, all those things that where he might pick up some cheap fouls.
I don't think that you ever faced a one seed in the second round. I mean, you typically were seeded pretty high in the tournaments, with the exception of that first year when you guys were 10 against St. Louis and beat a 2 in UMass in the second game. But this isn't just the number one seed. This is the number one seed in the tournament, and they're loaded, and Brandon Miller's great, although he's a little bit banged up. He didn't even score in the game yesterday against Corpus Christi. So, you know, how do you get ready after, you know, an exhausting game yesterday? They don't play in Gary until 9:40 tomorrow night, so they've got the most amount of time in recovery of anybody.
Yeah.
But what do you think of their chances against Bama?
Yeah, I noticed, you know, those times, and obviously having that much recovery time this time of year, you're in great shape if you don't have a serious injury on your team. You're banged up a little bit, but you know, you're used to playing, and you want to play this time of year. You don't look forward to practices. So, you know, they had time last night to go over a lot of things, walk through. Most of the time you get like a ballroom in the hotel you're staying at, and you put down the basket, your managers put tape down, and you walk through stuff that you're going to do against Alabama. And then this morning, whether they want to shoot or not, some teams do, some teams don't. And then you get ready to play. And I think the players are really looking forward to this. It's a great opportunity. Once again, it's a game that's going to be featured. And everybody will get a look at Maryland basketball, that's for sure. And, you know, players are aware of all these things. And, you know, they're going to be fired up and ready to play. Now, when Alabama's on their game, they are really good because they come at you, they come up and down, they'll take shots that sometimes you think they're bad shots, but they make them. But things happen in one game. You know, the ball doesn't always go in. Maryland can get hot. They've proven that over the course of the year. Maryland can beat good teams. They beat Purdue, a number one seed already. And so anything goes tonight. I think the pressure's off, and you just go out and play.
I want to ask you about Virginia real quickly before we get to this break. There's the discussion, you know, yesterday after Tony Bennett's team lost in the first round for the third time in their last four tournaments, you know, losing that lead late to Furman. By the way, did you see the end of that game? I'm assuming you did.
I saw the replay. Yeah, I saw the replay. That guard for Virginia is such a great player. I felt bad for him. I really did.
Yeah, I think he may have thought that if he threw it up in the air, the clock might run out.
Yeah, I think he had the clock wrong. Yeah,
I think he had it a little bit wrong. I mean, there's actual criticism of Tony Bennett. Pat Forty, longtime college basketball writer, wrote that now it's obvious how much of a fluke 2019 was. This guy's won a national championship. He's been to an Elite Eight. He's been to multiple Sweet 16s. And yeah, they're stylistically different than a lot of teams. But what are your thoughts of Tony Bennett, the way they play, and the conversation late yesterday and probably throughout today about him and the prospects for Virginia in the tournament with the way they play?
Well, that's easy. That's an easy cheap shot, really, to take at Tony. In that situation, like, the things you just said about Tony Bennett, people will forget those things real quick in a situation like yesterday. You know, we've all been there. The style of play of Virginia is different. There's no doubt about it. They play different than most teams, especially today. Most teams have gone to a spread offense, high screens, ball screens, things like that, where Tony still runs like a five-man offense, and they really don't look to run in transition. They very rarely ever get a cheap score, which is a hard way to play offensively. That does put players pressure on your players, but they've been successful playing that way. Now, let's not ever get away from that. The thing that does, playing like that, it keeps teams in the game that you're supposed to be better than. When my junior year at Maryland, going way back in the 60s, we played Houston and Elvin Hayes, and we beat Houston down in New Orleans in the old Sugar Bowl basketball tournament. And we didn't have one starter as good as any starters. They had Don Chaney and a couple other guys on that Houston team. We didn't have one starter as good as they were, but the way we played slowed the game down enough where we had a chance to win it at the end, and we did. Now, during that same season, we lost to Navy, who they didn't have a starter as good as anybody on our team, but we kept Navy in the game because of our style of play. We walked the ball up and, run. And then there was no shot clock either, and just run the offense till we got a good look. And so, I've been on both sides of that. And when I coached, I liked up-tempo style and, running, pressing, things like that. But, to say that because this is what the NCAA has done. It's put the spotlight completely on that. Sometimes whatever you do during the season gets overlooked as soon as the NCAA tournament starts. And I think Virginia is a good example of that. Maybe their style isn't great for the NCAA tournament because you catch these teams that are really fired up. They don't really care. A team like Furman walks in there, there was no pressure on them. Nobody thought they were going to win the game. And so, that those things can happen. But Tony Bennett, his body of work at Virginia, there's probably, three or four programs that have done better than them over that course of time.
Yeah. I mean, there are 99% of the programs out there would take Tony Bennett in the results he's had in a second. By the way, December 29th, 1965, Maryland 69, Houston 68. So, yeah. Gary, was Elvin Hayes, he had to be a young player, right? Because that famous game against UCLA that they played in the Astrodome was in 68. Was he a freshman?
Freshman couldn't play then. He had to be a sophomore.
He had to be a sophomore, right.
Yeah. And he got into it with Guy Lewis, the famous Houston coach.
Sure.
Guy Lewis took him out of the game. I think we were down like 5 or 6. And back then, the sub would give either a towel or the warm-up to the player coming in. So
as Haynes left the game, he had the warm-up in his hand, and he threw it at Guy Lewis's feet on the way by because he didn't want to come out of the game. He was a little upset. And so Guy Lewis got upset at him and wouldn't put him back in the game. Meanwhile, we get like a 3 or 4 point lead and hold on at the end of that game and win the game. So, and then we beat Dayton with Henry Finkel and Donnie May was on that team. That was the Final Four team.
Wow.
The next year. So
well, looking at the Houston team, Don Chaney was on that team too.
Yeah.
And Elvin Hayes averaged, it was his sophomore year, he averaged 27 and 17.
He caught one of my shots. I thought I had a layup.
Caught it and threw it, or just caught it?
Yeah. No, he kind of caught it. He blocked it, then he got it. You know, it didn't go out of bounds or anything. It was kind of embarrassing. You know, it's like.
By the way, Elvin Hayes, his senior year at Houston, averaged 36.8 points per game, 19 rebounds a game. He is, I've always thought, one of the real underrated great players of all time. Not to mention, he never came out of games. Never missed games, never came out of games as a pro.
He was unbelievable. I mean, people forget, you know, and I understand. Time goes by. There's new great players that come along. But, you know, you look at, you know, an Elvin Hayes in college, a Maravich in college, you know, what those guys did. And, you know, it's mind-boggling that they could do what they did.
Enjoy the hoops today. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
All right. Gary Williams, everybody. Ben Standing next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.